أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم هو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the rejected shaitan, with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious, the most merciful. The praise, the thanks belong to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds. The praise, the thanks belong to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His help, we beg Him for His forgiveness, we believe in Him, and we put our trust and faith in Him and in Him alone. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the evil of our deeds. For he that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And he whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. And I bear witness and give open testimony that there is no God except Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is without partners and associates. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger, the seal of all prophets, the last of all messengers. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should take heed of Him and do not die unless you are Muslim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth. He will direct you to do good righteous deeds and He will forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger, then he has already achieved the greatest achievement. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa kunu ma'a sadiqeen, and be with those who are truthful in their words and their deeds. Surely Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Truly the best of words are the words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best of guidance is the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent through His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ سَفًّا كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who fight in His cause, in rows, like upon or like ranks, as if they were a solid structure. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that there is nothing more loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the drop of blood that is spilled in His cause, or the tear shed in the middle of the night in fear of Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He appreciates. And what He appreciates most are His servants who have patience. Whether it be in times of ease or times of hardship. And when it comes to sabilihi, as He said, His cause, specifically when one fights and strives with might and main, with body and soul, with wealth, for the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves most. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, paradise lies under the shadow of the swords. We should know, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, and bi-idhnillah, today we will discuss one event that has many ramifications and many lessons for the Muslims in relationship to this ayah. As we know, in the first year of Hijrah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he arrived in Medina, one of the first orders of business was to establish a treaty. A treaty between the newly formed Bayt or home or Darul Islam, the newly formed state that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established through Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's arriving in Medina, and those who did not accept Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the Prophet, it was imperative that a treaty be established with them. Them being the Jewish tribes of Medina. Among them, and the most well known, were Bani Nadir and Bani Qurayza. Seeing that at the time when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come there, when he finally arrived, Al-Aws and Al-Khajraj, they had previously been feuding between them. But they were the largest tribes in Medina. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them to comprise the Ansar, the helpers. Once they accepted al-Islam, the writing was on the wall, so to speak. And whereas previously the Jews, specifically Bani Nadir and Bani Qurayza, had taken advantage of the feuds between these tribes, now they were clearly outnumbered and clearly undermined as far as any power or authority, because now these two tribes were unified under La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That being said, they accepted the treaty of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was simply, they would not conspire against the Muslim state, nor would they aid the enemies of Islam. Of course, they broke their promise. Who was Qurayza? Qurayza and Nadir, they were the founders of these tribes. They were brothers. And they claimed to have been descended from Prophet Harun alayhi salam, the brother of Musa alayhi salam. When they arrived to Medina, at that time being Yathrib, they settled in the caves in the heights of Medina and built fortresses there. After Qurayza, his children remained there, and as a result, these fortresses and its immediate surroundings became known by the name of this tribe, Bani Qurayza. So whenever they said, as we say, oh, we're going to Hyde Park or we're going to the Loop, it's understood when they said we're going to Bani Qurayza, what area of Medina was being spoken of. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, in the fifth year after Hijrah, following the losses of Quraysh in the battles of Badr and Uhud and others, the leaders of Bani Nadir and Bani Qurayza, among other tribes among the Jews, they went to speak to the tribe's leaders, those being the leaders of Quraysh. Their aim was to defeat Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his mission. So once they had secured help from Quraysh against Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they sought to assemble such a great army that would it as their plan was to instill fear in the hearts of the Muslims. The Jews had intended a surprise attack upon the Muslims in Medina, which would leave them unprepared and utterly defeated, thus wiping out all of the Muslims before it could spread throughout the earth, meaning al-Islam could spread. Their plans, though, were revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he, according to the hadith and at the recommendation of Salman al-Farsi radiallahu an, they dug a wide, deep trench around the city of Medina at its outskirts, not encircling it, but basically at the mouth, because Medina, like Mecca, it has mountains which surround it. And so at this particular point, if you're coming from Mecca, this was the best and only way for you to get in. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them to dig this trench so that it would be impossible for anyone to cross it without descending into it and letting themselves vulnerable to attack. The plan was that while the Quraysh would lead a siege against the Muslims, the Jews would outflank the Muslims, and with the help of Abu Sufyan bin Harb, they would attack the Muslims from the back and decimate them. And so Bani Nadir and Bani Qurayza and other Jewish tribes, they broke their treaty, orchestrated an attempt to destroy al-Islam and to kill Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You should know, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that there was still a battle, even though they were unable to face one another with the swords. There were volleys of arrows that were launched in, as it is called in Arabic, Ghazwatul Khandaq, or the Battle of the Trench. In it, Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu an, he wore a coat of mail, chain mail, as we call it today, but his forearm was exposed. And during the battle, Hibban bin Qais bin al-A'riqa, who was of Banu Luwayh, he hit him with an arrow, and it severed the vein in his exposed arm. He said, "Take that for me, O son of Aliqa." Sa'd replied, radiallahu anhu, "May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your face sweat in hell. O Allah," he cried, "if the war with Quraysh is to be prolonged, spare me for it. For there is no people whom I want to fight more than those who have insulted your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, called him a liar, and exiled him from his home. Allahumma, O Allah, seeing that you have appointed war between us and them, grant me martyrdom, and do not let me die until I have seen my desire upon Bani Qurayza." This was the prayer of Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu. You should take note of it. Now, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the trench, as we mentioned, was dug on the outskirts of the city. And thus, Bani Qurayza cut off any communication between the women in the city and the vanguard of the Muslim army. And although the treachery of Bani Qurayza caused the Muslims much hardship, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still blessed them with victory and cast fear into the hearts of those who rejected faith. The siege and the war, or the battle of Al-Khandaq, of the trench, finally giving the Muslims victory, was long and hard. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he returned to Al-Madinah from this battle, laid down his weapon, bathed, and performed salah. And no sooner than he went to lay his head upon his bed that Jibreel alayhi salam appeared in the form of a man resembling Dahya al-Kalbi, man who lived in the times of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jibreel alayhi salam, he was dressed in a red abaya, a turban, and on horseback. And he said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Who could possibly blame you for relaxing?" Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was surprised. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he looked and he saw Jibreel standing over him on horseback. And he asked him, Jibreel did, alayhi salam, "Have you dropped your weapon, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" He said, "Yes." That was quick. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he could see thousands of angels ready for battle behind Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam continued, "By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels have not yet sheathed their swords. Stand, let's go." "Where?" asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. "To Bani Qurayza. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands that you go there and fulfill his command." Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "The Muslims have only just returned from the battle of the trench. They are tired. Can they have a few days with their families?" Jibreel alayhi salam, he said, "Stand. Call upon them to face Bani Qurayza at once." Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he then armed himself and commanded the Muslims to ready for battle, that they should go immediately to Bani Qurayza. So he called Bilal ibn Rabah radiyallahu anhu to tell the people the following: "Ride. Whoever among you hears and obeys, he will never make Asr anywhere except at the fortresses of Bani Qurayza." Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in his book, "They are not equal, those believers who sit at home, except that they are disabled by injury or unable to fight. They are not equal to those who strive hard and fight in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their wealth and their lives. Allah has preferred in grades or in levels those who strive hard and fight with their wealth and their lives above those who sit at home. Unto each Allah has promised good, but Allah preferred those who strive hard and fight above those who sit at home by a wide margin of reward." Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, "And surely we shall test you as we test those who strive hard in the cause of Allah and the patient, and we shall test what you declare." Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we should understand this. And be aware that when we say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, that we are ready for the imtihan, for the test. We are ready for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may send upon us of trial. And we should know that it may come at any moment, any minute, any season. The time does not matter whether it's an easy time for us or a time of difficulty. The reason being, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, is though this may be a test, there is no better mission than that of the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us, قُلْ say, if your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wives, your kindred, the wealth that you have gained, the commerce in which you fear a decline, and the dwellings in which you delight, if they are dearer to you than Allah and His Messenger and striving and fighting in His cause, then wait until Allah brings about His decision of torment. And Allah does not guide a people who are intentionally disobedient. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left Ibn Makhtum radiallahu an to guard al-Madinah, and he prepared an army of 3,000 soldiers, upon which 36 were on horseback, and they rode through Medina to Bani Qurayza. At every part of Medina where they found someone, they Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them, did someone pass by you? And to a man, no matter which road they traveled, each one said yes. Duhay Kalbi bin Khalifa, he passed us by, riding hard towards the direction of Bani Qurayza. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he remarked, this was Jibreel alayhi salam. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to Bani Qurayza to shake their caves and their fortresses and cast fear into their hearts. No single person on the road to Bani Qurayza, no matter where they were in proximity, not one did not see Jibreel alayhi salam riding in that direction. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had placed Imam Ali alayhi salam at the head of the army. And as soon as Ali alayhi salam arrived, Bani Qurayza began cursing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and boasting about what they would do when they saw him. And though this deeply offended Imam Ali alayhi salam and made him want to respond in kind, he kept silent. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam finally arrived, he said to him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please do not go near these people. These mean, mad, crazy people. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I think you heard that they are preparing something to harm me. He said, yes. Watch, said Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they see me, they will be struck mute. So he approached Bani Qurayza and came near to them within earshot. And they all saw him coming. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Oh brothers of the monkey! Did not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala humiliate you today and decide to take vengeance upon you? For a moment there was nothing. And all they replied with was, Ya Abul Qasim, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know that you were never among the ignorant. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered his troops at the well of Unna. And although there were many Muslims there. Many more had not yet arrived. They were on foot. And they disputed amongst themselves when Salatul Asr came upon them and they had not yet reached Bani Qurayza. They reminded one another that Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, we should not make Asr until we reach the fortresses of Bani Qurayza. And although many did not make it there until Salatul Isha, they obeyed Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and made Salatul Asr when they arrived. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله ولي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, 25 nights, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam laid siege to Bani Qurayza. And their supplies dwindled low. But Bani Qurayza were cut off. And so they did not fare much better than the Muslims. At this time, Ka'b bin Asad al-Qaradi, he was the leader of Bani Qurayza. And he addressed them saying, O assembly of Jews, you can see what has happened to you. I offer you three alternatives. Pick whatever you wish. Number one, we follow this man. We accept him as true. For by Allah, it has become plain to you that he is a prophet who has been sent and that he is the one that you find mentioned in your scripture. If we follow him, then your lives, your property, your women and children will be saved. They said, no. We will never abandon the laws of the Torah and never exchange it for another. He said, okay, then if you don't accept this, let us kill our wives and our children. And then send our men with their swords drawn to Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his companions who are waiting for us with their swords unsheathed. Thus, we will leave no encumbrances behind us until Allah SWT decides between us and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we perish, we perish. And we won't leave any women or children behind us to cause us any anxiety. If we conquer, then we can acquire other wives and make more children. They said, should we kill these poor creatures? What would be the good of life if they are dead? No. Okay. Then if you don't accept this, it's Friday night. This is the time that this is occurring. The eve of our Sabbath. And it may well be that Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his companions feel safe from any attack from us. So, maybe we can take them by surprise. They said, are you mad? Are we to profane our Sabbath and do on the Sabbath which those had done when they did it before us? They were turned into apes. No, He said to them, "It is clear that not a single man among you, from the day that his mother birthed him, has ever made a firm decision. I am certain that there has never been anyone more cowardly than you." So, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Bani Qurayza became desperate. All of their allies had abandoned them, but Bani Aus, they still felt some kinship because they had long ties due to the fact that they had lived in Medina together. So they asked for one of their members, his name being Mubashir bin al-Mundhir, and he is also known as Abi Lababa. They sought him to be their liaison. When the whole tribe was before him, they pleaded, "Oh Abi Lababa, do you think that we should accept the terms of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" Without hesitation, he said, "Yes." And then, not thinking, he passed his hand over his throat to show them they would be slaughtered. Abu Lababa remarked after this, he said, "By Allah, when I said this, I became frozen and couldn't move. And I realized that I had unwittingly betrayed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his prophet." Abu Lababa, he fled the fortresses of Bani Qurayza and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, full of remorse, without telling anyone, and made his way to the masjid of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he tied himself to one of its pillars and he announced, "I will never leave this place until I die, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept my repentance for what I've done. I promise, O Allah, that I will never set foot on the land of Bani Qurayza as long as I live, nor do I ever want to be seen in a town in which I betrayed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam." 10 nights passed. Abu Lababa, he lost his hearing and could barely see, but he never moved from this pillar except to pray or relieve himself. And each time that he returned to it, his wife would bind him. He became so remorseful that he said, "I won't even eat unless I die, or Allah accept my repentance." Meanwhile, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was back at Bani Qurayza waiting for Abu Lababa. Finally, someone told him about what was going on, that Abu Lababa was punishing himself for his betrayal. He said, "If he had just come to me and asked me to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness, I would have done so. But due to the fact that he's done this to himself and made this oath, then I cannot release him until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his repentance." It became clear, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that the Jews of Bani Qurayza did not know what to do. So the leader among them, Ka'ab bin Asad, he said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent word, "We ask you for your forgiveness, and we accept to leave Medina with our blood and our money." Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said no. So they returned and they said, "Okay, we'll leave Al-Medina with only our blood." Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said no. Thus, they said, "Okay, the way is shut. Maybe if we have someone respected on both sides, maybe this person can negotiate terms." So they chose Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. And I remind you of what he made of his dua. O Allah, give me martyrdom, but let me live so long as I can see my wish upon Bani Qurayza. They chose him thinking that they had a relationship with him due to their previous dealings in the past, before the advent of al-Islam. So as he made his way to the meeting place in front of the fortresses of Bani Qurayza, they whispered, "Deal kindly with your friends, the people who have made you judge for that very purpose." Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was silent. When they saw this, some of them went to Bani Qurayza and they said, "Write your wills now before he gets here." Knowing that among seeing his demeanor, that his judgment may be fierce. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, "Ya Abi Amr," this was his kunyah, this was his title, "the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to decide what you like with regards to Bani Qurayza." He said, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more qualified than me to judge." Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Allah commands that you pass judgment upon them." He said, "I swear by Allah, I will not pass any judgment that is not in your favor." Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Sa'ad, judge them." All of the leaders of Bani Qurayza sat opposite to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. And Sa'ad looked upon the leaders of Bani Qurayza and he said to them, "By Allah, do I take your word and your promise that you will accept my judgment?" They said, "Yes." And he looked at Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, "Will you accept my judgment?" And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Yes." Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he said, "Then it is about time to make a decision. And O Allah, do not blame me for any word that I say. It is my rule, it is my judgment, that the men of Bani Qurayza be put to death, and their wealth and their women and their children be divided among the Muslims." At this, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Your decree upon them is the decree of Allah in the seven heavens." So the men of Bani Qurayza were led away and imprisoned in an area known as Ramla bint al-Harith. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he later remarked to one of them who had refused to accept this decision upon of his leaders. He said to him, "Wallah, by Allah, we never ruled against you due to your aggression, but you attempted to hinder and cut Allah. And whoever attempts to cut Allah is cut." Thus, this was the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon Bani Qurayza. And that day, more than 900 men lost their heads. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, let us briefly, in our few moments, return to the situation of Abu Lababa, who had tied himself in the masjid of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was after this event that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at the home of Salma. May Allah be pleased with her. Only moments before Salatul Fajr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, "And there are others who have acknowledged their sins. They have mixed a deed that was righteous with another that was evil. Perhaps Allah will turn unto them in forgiveness. Surely Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Salma radiallahu anha, she saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was smiling, and she said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what makes you smile?" He said, "Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the repentance of Abi Lubaba." She hopped up and she said, "Should I go tell him?" She said, "Yes, if you like." He said, "Yes, if you like, go tell him." So she announced, "Oh, Abi Lubaba, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted your repentance. And I have come to let you know this." So they flocked to him, ready to unbind him. He said, "No." So why are you refusing? He said, "I will never accept to be released unless Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself releases me." And so he waited. And as the adhan was being called for Salatul Fajr, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and released Abi Lubaba, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you know, accepted his repentance. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have easily revealed the Quran in 1 second. As opposed to giving us the history, or making those who lived in the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sacrifice so much. When we look at our situation, there is no comparison. Yes, there are struggles. Yes, there are difficulties, and they may be different. But we cannot compare to the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In no way. They are the shining stars of Islam that we look up to, and we hope to gain even the shine of the reward that Allah gave them. But He gave them this, and He gave us their example to show what it means to be a Muslim. They live this deen. They are and were the ayahs that we read walking and living. Meaning that it is their example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enshrined in the Quran when He said that, "And strive hard in Allah's cause." That is what He's referring to. That we cannot think that Islam is like some coat that we admire that stands on the hook and, "Oh, it's the season for Islam. Let me put it on. I look good in this, don't I? How you like it?" But as soon as it becomes uncomfortable, we take it off and hide it. Some say, "Didn't I know you're Muslim? What you talking about? Oh, yeah. I'm not practicing right now." That's not Islam. That's not what it means to be a Muslim. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, when we speak about the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah blesses us to wish this deen to continue, then we are called upon to sacrifice as they sacrificed. When they faced the enemy, they were facing death. And if they did not die, then they were facing being maimed, injured, and harmed. They didn't have Cook County to go to. They did not have the situations that a cut at that time could mean your death. Now they're replacing faces. Really? So at that time, what may seem as a flesh wound today could have meant your death. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we admire their example so much that we aspire even in our children, when we name them, to live up to these examples. Who would not want to have a child like Sa'd bin Mu'adh, who fought and died for this deen? Who would not like to have a child like Ali ibn Abi Talib, Imam Ali alayhi salam, who was known as the lion of this deen? Or Hamza, the uncle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who shielded Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the arrows and died in this way, protecting La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Who would not wish that? Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that may not be your lot. But what Allah put in your pocket, He's going to ask you about. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you as an opportunity, what you hear now, what you hear from this member, only to sacrifice for his house, that it will continue, that it will live beyond you, that inshallah ta'ala it will be your sadaqa jariyah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for your sacrifice. No, you may not have those great blessings, but you do. Each of us here has the opportunity to help maintain Baytullah. We have a great, great, great opportunity. Allah is not stingy in reward. And Allah does not forget. And Allah is the appreciative. He's the one that rewards you. You could give it silently. Nobody needs to know. And He knows. But I remind you, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as I remind myself, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in His book, that they will come on that day and they will receive a book. And those who do not believe, they will say, "What book is this? It didn't miss nothing, big or small. And it gives the count of my deeds in numbers. Number one sin, number two sin, number three." Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. Please, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, our time here is so short. And the opportunity we have is even shorter. So if we don't take and seize the day, then we miss out. And if we miss out, there's no going back. There's no turning back. There's no clock that will say, "Okay, now you have a second chance." There's no delete button for your life. The only way you can remove those bad deeds is with good deeds. And this, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, this may be the best opportunity that we have. And Allah knows best. We may not get that chance to fight a battle against the kuffar face to face. But the greatest jihad, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, is the jihad of nafs, according to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that nafs, when it whispers, you got other bills. That nafs, when it whispers, just give a little. That nafs, when it whispers, you didn't hear that. That, when you fight against that, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, know that you are fighting a serious battle. Serious. Because the worst thing is that when you are reminded and you don't hear it at all, because you've gotten so far from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it goes over you as if it's just waves of sounds, and you don't discern good from bad. May Allah save us from that. Amen. And bless us to be responsive to His call. Amen. And bless us to be amongst those who strive with their might, their main, their wealth, and their lives in His cause. Amen. Bless us to be amongst those whom He gives the reward of the Mujahideen, the reward of the Ansar, the reward of those who fought to establish La ilaha illallah, محمد رسول الله أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر